You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your nearness. Thank you that you have an agenda and this church is on it. And for everything you're going to say, we give you praise. And how you're going to cut and uproot and destroy and expose, we give you praise. We love you for this church, this fellowship, the brotherhood, sisterhood. Lord, we thank you for calling us together. And Lord, continue to perfect your bride through the preaching of the gospel. And may those hearts who have yet to turn to you, may they find their hope in you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. It's an honor to be back at this church. I love you all. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. As Pastor Ben said, we now go way back to many years ago. We've done trips to Grand Haven, to the beach together. Many years ago, we did camps. We've done Lost Valley. And so y'all stuck with me. Y'all are stuck with me. So I honor you all in Jesus' name. I'm honored to continue our series, We Are the Church. I'd like to actually read a scripture today. So if you could stand with me, those of you who are able to, I want to read the scripture, then I'll tell you the topic, and then we're going to preach in Jesus' name. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 13 through verse 20. And I need y'all to read nice and big with me so I don't feel by myself. Okay, ready, class? Verse 13, here we go. And come on, class. Also, thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you believe. This is so good. Keep going. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. Keep going. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Almost there. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you again. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. 19 rather. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to encourage you today from the topic, continue to be the church. Continue to be the church. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, continue to be the church. One more time. Continue. I like this church. Here we go. So what makes the body of Christ a body Christ can be proud of? Beyond our biblical knowledge, beyond our beautiful singing, beyond our big giving, what sets this community apart as belonging to Jesus, not just belonging to us? The scripture we just read is a part of Paul's love letter to a very young and persecuted church in a place called Thessalonica. It was remarkable that these people were serving God faithfully in a hard time because they had only been taught by Paul by a short time. Some scholars suggest that Paul only had about 3 weeks of teaching with the congregation before he got run out of town by the people. And yet, despite the opposition, despite the quick learning they had, these saints flourished in their faith. So while, as we read 1 Thessalonians, it fills in many theological gaps. You hear about the rapture, the second coming of Jesus. It also celebrates that there was no gap in this church's devotion to Jesus. Despite opposition, despite their limited learning, this church continued to be the church. Can the same thing be said of the Gateway Church? Today, I want to look at what was particularly praiseworthy about the church in Thessalonica to ensure that we have what makes the body of Christ a body Christ can be proud of. I want to break this sermon down in the following phrases. So y'all who know me know I like to do this. So get your pens and let's flow in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about the credit. I want to talk to you about the commonality. I want to talk to you about the condemnation. And I'll talk to you about the care. This is how we'll understand the scripture we just read. The credit, the commonality, the condemnation, and then the care. The credit. Verse 13, and also we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The credit. Credit is an acknowledgement of someone's involvement in a work. At the end of a movie, we roll the credits. We say, give credit where credit is due. You can even fail a class or get kicked out of school for not faithfully citing the credit for the sources that you got your essay information from. At the family potluck, we ask, who made this? That's credit. When you get a text from an unknown number, you ask, who sent this? That's credit. And when little Jimmy is running through Kroger, tearing down the cereal, you ask, whose child is that? That's credit. When you know whose name is on something, you know how to handle it. You know whether you can trust it, how to respond to it. You know who you can turn to when you have a problem with it because you know whose name is over it. The scriptures are clear about to whom credit is due. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Meaning, the credit for creation goes to King Jesus. The purpose of creation, it comes from King Jesus. The maintenance, the fixing, the help for all of creation comes from King Jesus because his name is over us. The church in Thessalonica understood to whom credit was due. Paul says, when we preached to you and sat with you, you recognized that what we shared came from heaven and not from us. You gave God his credit and obeyed his word as his word, not my word. Church, it is essential that we never forget to whom credit is due. The word of God is preached by people, but it is breathed by God. So we should always treat the word of God as God's revelation, not yours, mine, and ours. This is noteworthy for Paul because it's possible for us to dismiss the word of God as the word of man because it came through a man. We could say, oh, there's Paul preaching that stuff again. There's Kavar screaming again. And you miss that human beings are just the mouthpiece, but it's always been God's message. Give God his credit. This has profound implications for the body of Christ. And friends, I'm warning you, you might not like what I'm about to say. The word of God is still the word of God, whether it's brought to you by a child or a grown-up. The word of God is still the word of God, whether it comes from your favorite preacher or the sister who hit your car in the parking lot and still has not apologized. Saints, I may have heard it from you, but it didn't come from you. Give God his credit. His signature is on it. Do you know what this means? It means, as the church, we have to let go of critiquing God's messengers and saying, he's not my cup of tea. She's not my preferred style of communicator. I really wish he would use a different version of the Bible. Come on, church. Get over yourself. Get over your prejudices. Get over your preferences and listen to Jesus talking to you through whoever he chooses to send your way. Give him his credit. We discredit the Lord by turning away from his word because we don't like his messengers. What's so funny is that Jesus Christ was the only perfect messenger who came from God, and he was God, and he was killed by his hearers because they did not believe he was God. That's Mary's baby. That's Joseph's little boy. That's the carpenter. What are you doing talking about Son of God risen from the dead? So friends, if people were tripping over Jesus, they're going to be tripping over Ben Vey, Bobby Hill, Kavar Reed. We're in good company. So my prayer is that you be the church that gives credit to where credit is due. I pray you hear God regardless of which vessel he sends your way. The word of God isn't good because the messenger is good. Oh, that was good preaching. Oh, the word of God is good because God is good. Give God his credit. Let's move. Commonality. The commonality. Verse 14. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. So, over the past few years, I've noticed that under the guise of outreach, some of our churches have adopted what I call the spirit of competitive advertising. As if to get people to our churches, we've got to tell them why our church is better than the competition, and the competition is every other church. You, like me, have probably heard messaging like, if you're looking for a dead church, there's plenty of those in Muskegon. If you're looking for the best church, look no further. The best church in the world is right here. Friends, respectfully, that's not the spirit of Jesus. We are not Popeye's chicken fighting Chick-fil-A for sales of the chicken sandwich. We are the kingdom of heaven fighting the kingdom of darkness for the souls of people. And it is essential for us to recognize that other Bible-believing churches are never our competition. They are our co-laborers. They are our collaborators. They are our colleagues. Let's put off the petty competition. Best church picnic. Oh, we got the best live stream. Oh, we got the best youth group. Oh, what is that? That's not heavenly. That's worldly. To quote my friends from High School Musical, we are all in this together. There is one Savior. There's one heaven. There's one standard of holiness. There's one body of Christ. There's one rapture, but there's not one Bible-believing church you must attend to get your soul right. This togetherness, this sameness, this oneness is what Jesus prayed that the body of Christ would have when he said, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. But we're like, oh, but we're Gateway, and they're so-and-so, and they're such-and-such Methodist, and they're such-and-such Catholic. Nonsense. It's one body, one church. These saints in Thessalonica were being ostracized for saying yes to the gospel. And Paul knows how easy it is when you're going through a hard time to feel like you're isolated. No one knows the trouble I see, right? Nobody knows my sorrows. So Paul says, let me show you what I've seen in my travels. And he turns their eyes almost 1,000 miles across the Mediterranean Sea to other churches in Judea, other Bible-believing, Jesus-loving followers who speak a different language, who dress differently, who go to different political climates, who started at different times. And he says, they're going through the same struggle for holiness that you're going through. So you're not alone. It's our commonality. Not only are you connected to the church across the sea, Paul says, but Jesus Christ and all the prophets, all the saints of old, also experience the same suffering you're going through. This is our commonality. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. So someone blocks you on Facebook because they don't like you talking about Jesus, you're in good company. Hebrews 11 tells us the saints of old were tortured, cut in half, mocked, beaten for the sake of God. So if someone at work tells you to shut up talking about Jesus, you are in good company. Saints, this is our commonality. Let's be clear. Paul is not telling the church, get over your trials. He's telling them to be the church. You have to go through your trials, understanding that suffering is common across the whole body of Christ. This is part of our spiritual legacy. So regardless of what you may be going through today as a believer, you're not the first Christian and you're certainly not the last Christian to suffer in that way for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is our commonality. Here's the truth about the body of Christ. It is not essential that we all read from the same version of the Bible. And I'm a King Jameser. That's how I learned. That's me. It is not essential that we all sing the same songs on a Sunday. It's not essential that we all gather at the same time on a Sunday. This is not the fellowship of the hymn book. We are a part of the fellowship of his suffering. This is our commonality. So believers, can we please grow up and quit comparing and start acknowledging our sameness? Leave that petty differences alone. The church across the world is suffering for Jesus. So don't just pray that you make it and Gateway makes it. Pray that everyone who names the name of the Lord across the whole world doesn't quit in their time of affliction. This is our commonality. Talked about the credit. Talked about commonality. Let's go to the condemnation. The condemnation. Verse 15 and 16. Who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. The condemnation. So in our culture, biblical principles are called backwards, and believers are considered intolerant. People claim that we are the problem and the solution is less of us, less of Jesus, and more meditation with your crystals, aligning of your chakras, and self-love. The stigma of being a Christ follower has caused many to wonder, could everyone else really be so wrong about Jesus being the only way? Should we give up that oneness and be more pluralistic in our approach? Paul says, you better hold on to Jesus. Him and him crucified. You see, while in the court of public opinion, it seems like the world is winning, Paul says it is essential for Christians to remember people who resist God and persecute his church are racking up penalties. The scripture says heaping up sins to the limit. In other words, saints, church, continue to be the church and don't make you feel like your Christian lifestyle is the problem with the world. Because while your lifestyle might displease them, their lifestyle displeases the Lord. Friends, I fear we have made so many things political that we forget how many things are actually spiritual. It is essential that we continue to be the church and remember that anything that opposes the spread of the gospel of Jesus whether it is a law or an ideology or an institution or a tradition, is antichrist and displeases God. He condemns it. Our instructions as the church are clear. Let your light so shine before men. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And any force that forces us off this mission is not preserving freedom. It's not creating safe spaces. It is keeping people from eternal life, and that displeases the Lord. God condemns it. In other words, saints, those who fight against you for the sake of the gospel are actually fighting against God himself. And if God is for us, who can be against? Let's be clear. These verses are not meant to say, don't worry, Christians, all your bullies are going to hell. Because that's not the gospel. What it does say is God is on your side. And those who are on the wrong side desperately need the gospel because the wrath of God is real. Here's the truth. Some of us know this firsthand. We were the people who chased the Christians off our lawn. We were the people who blocked the Christians on Facebook. We were the people who chased them out of our hearts, cursed them and said, oh, don't you ever come back to me with that Jesus nonsense. And here you are today screaming, holy is the Lamb of God. That's the gospel. God has changed our hearts. And we who were once set out for condemnation now have a song that the angels can't sing. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. I once was condemned. But now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. Condemnation. I've escaped the condemnation. Let's keep going. The credit, the commonality, the condemnation. The last one, the care. The care. I love this. This is verses 17 through 20. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. 19, for what is our hope and our joy or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of Jesus? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. The care. What is it that fuels Paul's urgency to come and see the church? Why are they always on his mind, even when they're apart? He says, it's simply this, I just want to see you in heaven. Paul says, listen, I know I'm going. That's settled for me. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. That's settled for me. But I will not feel so satisfied until I look and I see, man, there he is. There's that kid in kids ministry who I preached to. There's that young man in youth ministry I labored with. That's that sister I brought to Teen Challenge. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be so happy because I see you. Paul says, I care about your soul, man. What a word for the church in the middle of their suffering. God is on your side and your brother has your back. Paul is invested in every single member of this fellowship going all the way with Jesus. Saints, you're looking at a man who is the beneficiary of that level of care. God has sent people into my life who did not quit on me when I was doing foolishness. People who fought for me. People who prayed for me. People who prayed with me. People who gave me grace to make mistakes, and now here I am serving Jesus in holiness. It's the care, church. This care is essential if we are going to continue to be the church. Believers, unfortunately, some of us just don't care enough. We don't care. We're too apathetic. We're happy just coming here at 9 o'clock, sing our songs, and go home while the world is going to hell. Paul says, I will not be satisfied until I open my eyes in glory and I see you, the same people I was preaching to. Come on, church. We're so ready for the world to be condemned because they weren't listening to our gospel. That's not the spirit of Jesus. Jesus could have condemned you when you were not listening, but he gave you chance upon chance, grace upon grace, sermon upon sermon to get it right. And you're tired of talking to sister so-and-so because she's not leaving that drugs alone? Where is your care? Paul said, my mission will not be complete. I won't be happy until I get to heaven and I see you. Friends, Jesus cared enough for the world that he gave up his life. Knowing many of us would never give him a chance. You and I need to care enough about the lost that we will never take advantage of an opportunity, that we'll never miss an opportunity to open our mouth and talk Jesus and live Jesus. You have to care. Paul said, the only reason I didn't come is because Satan blocked my way. For some of us, it's inconvenient. I'm just tired. I don't feel like it. I don't know what to say. Jesus loves you, man. Jesus died for you. And Jesus sent me to you to say he loves you. You can't say that. Come on, redeemed people. Continue to be the church. Jesus has called us to be a place of ministry where God uses each of us to minister to each of us. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are assigned to carry out his mission. It's in your hands. It's in your mouth. Do your job if you care. Unsaved friends, if you're here today, we have no hidden agenda in sharing this gospel with you. We're not trying to control you. We're not trying to stop you from having fun. We're giving you the life-changing word of God because we care more about your eternal soul than we do about your temporary pleasures. The Lord, who has a plan for you, cares for you. And he sent this word to show how much he cares for you. That's the only way you're going to have peace in this life and eternity. And my glory and my crown when Jesus appears is I want to see you. I'm closing. I ask you these questions. Going back to the credit, brothers and sisters, how are you treating God's message and God's messengers? God has been preaching to you this whole time, today. I mean, this, even if this is your first service, he said enough. And if you've been to multiple services, you definitely have enough word. How have you been honoring the word that he sent to you? Or have you been dismissing the word because of the messenger? Oh, he didn't use the right version. Oh, I didn't like it. Oh, I didn't. This is a lifeboat. You don't like who's in the boat. Get over your prejudices. Give Jesus his credit. How are you treating unbelievers? How are you treating other believers and other Bible-believing churches? God forgive us for being so self-righteous. When we look at other congregations and we say, oh, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. Friends, we are one body. We're going to one heaven. I don't care if their church is called Methodist, Apostolic, Church of God in Christ. One heaven. And you know what prevents you from getting there? Your dislike for other people. Get over yourselves, church. Get over yourselves. We talked about the condemnation. Are you losing sight of Jesus' justice and Jesus' righteousness? Are the pressures of this world, the way the world is talking about Christians and the culture, is that making you shift from the Bible to being like, well, this can't be right because my friend said, my school said, my husband said, listen, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Saints, there's a condemnation coming. There's a condemnation coming. We only escape it by leaning into the word of Jesus. Lastly, do you care enough about the lost to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are you ready to send everybody to hell? If we really do believe the gospel is the life-changing power of Jesus, why is your mouth always shut? And the only thing we do is criticize them. Oh, those liberals, oh, those unbelievers, oh, those atheists. How about you open your mouth and tell them Jesus saves, if you care? So I want to open the altar, and I'm calling an altar call for the church. I'm calling an altar call for believers, folks who are like, Kavar, I've given Jesus his credit. I heard the voice of God today. And I believe with all my heart that these brothers and sisters who may go to other fellowships, who go to other churches, they might be reading other Bibles, other versions of the scripture. They're my brothers and sisters. And I am not going to allow the world to push me away from standing in the face of Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And I'm going to open my mouth. My commitment is to open my mouth and care enough for the souls of my son and the souls of his friends and the souls of my neighbors to tell them Jesus saves. If that's you, I want you to come now and we're going to pray. We're here to continue to be the church. There is grace for us, saints. There is grace for us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what Jesus is inviting us to do is to receive more power, is to receive more grace, receive more help. Because I promise you, this week, you're going to come up against somebody who has a question about your faith. You better open your mouth and say something. Open your mouth and say something. Saints, we need to continue to be the church, not just on Sunday, but every single day. And as you're here, close your eyes and begin to respond to what Jesus said to you. Maybe you've been critiquing his sermons. Maybe you've been critiquing his messengers. Maybe you've been talking bad about other churches. Jesus, we repent. There is one church. There is one bride. There is one body. There is one heaven. And Lord, we repent for even looking at our brothers and sisters in other churches and speaking bad about them. God, we repent of even complaining about the churches we left before we came here. God, we bless every congregation, every Bible-believing church, every man or woman of God, every messenger who carries your gospel. Lord, we bless them. Come on, church. Lord, we bless them. We bless the churches abroad. We bless the churches across the Mediterranean Sea. We bless our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we forgive those who we hold in offense. Lord, we let go of everyone we've been critiquing. God, there is one bride. Lord, we're one body. We're one fellowship. I pray the oneness of God, the unity of the Spirit would rest on this body. Lord, I pray for soft hearts. God, we give you the credit. We give you the credit today. We bless your name. We bless your word. We bless your church. We bless your people. God, you've spoken. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the ways you've spoken that we didn't even recognize. Forgive us for the times you've spoken that we did not honor your word and honor your voice. God, we repent. We recognize you, Jesus, as Savior of the world, the sender of the gospel message. And Lord, we bless every messenger you send. God, whether it's a child or an adult, God, whether it's a commercial on TV or a bumper sticker on a car, whether they use KJV or NLT, Jesus, we bless your messengers. We bless your messengers. We bless your messengers. Lord, send them forward. Lord, send them forward. Lord, though they look different than us, send them forward. Though they preach different than us, send them forward. Though they sing different than us, send them forward. God, the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. Send them, Jesus. Lord, we won't curse the messengers. We won't kill the messengers. But we bless the messengers. Every missionary. God, every man, every woman at this altar who is afraid to lift their voice, like Moses was afraid of his speech. Lord, we bless them and we send them in Jesus' name. Lord, we receive your word. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by your Spirit. So send us, Lord. May we never be afraid to be messengers. May we never be afraid to open our mouths.
Lord, you send who you want. You choose who you want. And you've assigned this church to this region to go into all the world. So, Lord, we're going. We pray for every brother and sister who is suffering. Lord, in this congregation, in other congregations, and all over the world. Lord, you said we need to be faithful even in affliction. So we pray great grace upon the church. As we go through the trials and tribulations, as we go through suffering, send grace upon us, Lord. You told Paul that your grace is sufficient and your strength is perfect in weakness. So look at your weak people, God. Look at our weak offerings. We're just vessels. We're just jars of clay. We're just people in the hands of God. So Holy Spirit, give us grace not to stand, Lord. Give us grace not to turn back. For everyone right now who's doubting, Lord, everyone who's being swayed by the world, who's being swayed by the enemy, like Eve who had to think, maybe the fruit is good. Maybe it's good for I. Lord, we turn our eyes back on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we look to you and we pray you strengthen the church. We pray the spirit of compassion upon your people. We pray the care of Jesus, who cared enough for us to leave heaven, come to earth, suffer and die, so that we could have a chance to be saved. Lord, we pray that same care would flood our hearts even now, oh God. Overwhelm us with a desire for the harvest. God, stretch us. God, stretch us. God, stretch us. Make us uncomfortable with the dying of this world. Make us uncomfortable having lost children and lost spouses and lost neighbors. Lord, make us uncomfortable until we move with godly compassion. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender ourselves to you again. God, everything you want to have in our lives, take it from us. We will continue to be the church, not just in name, but in care. Oh God, when you come, you're coming for a church that looks like you. So everything in our DNA, Lord, that is anti-Christ, I pray you purge it, great refiner, in the name of Jesus. Every dead weight, everything of the flesh, every spirit of competitive advertising, God, we lay it down at the altar and we pick up the cross of Jesus. Lord, you said if anyone wants to be your disciple, they have to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow you. So today, God, at your altar, we lay everything down. We lay everything down. Everything you've called out of us, Lord, that is unrighteous, we lay it down. Every fear and weight that doesn't please you, we lay it down. And we pick up the compassion of Jesus. We pick up the care of Jesus. Take everything you want out of our lives, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. A couple thoughts I have. Kurt, I'm not sure if the mission and vision statement are still in the slides from last week, but I was thinking about who we are as a church, and we are a spirit-filled church committed to glorifying God. It's all about Him, and we do that by connecting the people of Lakeshore with God, with each other, with the world, and sometimes we shorten that to say by reaching one more. And this morning, I forgot my Bible. It was in my stuff that I was packed. And so I grabbed my Bible, my childhood Bible. This is the Bible that my grandma said when I was 9 years old, and I was asking her, how do you know that you're saved? She said, go get your Bible, and went through the scripture. And then I wrote in my Bible, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior on November 12th, 1985. This is that Bible. And I think the last time I used this Bible was at my grandma's funeral. And this morning when I grabbed it, I had my notes from my grandma's funeral. And this is the order of service. And on the back, I had made a note that in May of 2016, my grandma was telling me, she said this, and I wrote it down. She said that God cares about the multitudes, but God also cares about the one. And it just reminded me of that last bit, the care, that we are called to care. And if we're silent, what does that say about our care, about what we really believe? And I just believe that as we leave here today, we face all kinds of spiritual darkness this week. But remember, when the world gets darker, the church, that's us, the church, the saints of God, we shine brighter. Don't put your light under a bowl. Let your light shine so others can see. I want you to think about the week ahead. Just kind of, most of us can kind of map out kind of what's coming down the pike. You know, maybe some meetings, maybe it's a doctor's, or maybe it's homeschooling. Where can you be a light this week? At the gym, at your work, where can you shine? And maybe where you've had your light hidden, how can we take the lamp and make it bright? I'm going to pray that God would just use us this week in a powerful way. Lord, I thank you, God, for the challenge this morning to care for the ones in our lives that we don't want to see heaven without. And Lord, even those that we may say, I don't care, Lord, give us a heart to care. God, give us a desire to speak up, to be the light that you've already created us to be. And God, I pray that your Spirit would rest on us. You'd use us as mouthpieces, God. You would use us, Lord, to make a difference. And God, I just pray, God, that your Spirit would reign and rule on the lake shore because of the Gateway Church and other churches that are taking ground for you. And Lord, we celebrate what you're doing. And we give you the praise, and we give you all the glory. And God, now as we transition and we head out to eat, or we get ready for the Super Bowl, or we're studying for an exam, or preparing for the week ahead for work, Lord, I just pray that this would not fall short. Lord, that it'd be on the forefront of our minds, that we are the difference makers. We're the ones you've called to be. Let's go ahead and put up our vision statement. Let's look at this. This is who we're becoming. We are becoming a healthy, multiplying church known for making an impact in our community, in our world. This is who we are. Thank you, Lord, that you still use people that are fallen, that fall short. But Lord, when you're looking across the lakeshore for people to use, God, choose us. Choose me. Don't pass us by. Jesus' name. And now, as we often will close, Lord, I pray that you'd go before us, behind us, and all around us. Give us a great week. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, we love you. Turn and let someone know that you love them. Let's just fellowship here. Let's enjoy each other's presence.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.